All right. Thank you, Brother Mike. I thank you so much for just being long-suffering with me. And when God starts dealing with you about doing something, you know, I'm not sure how other people handle it. I was kind of a nervous wreck, and the only person I really knew to talk to was Mike, so I kind of bugged him a lot. And I'm just really thankful, Mike, that you're just long-suffering with me, and I appreciate that. A good preacher taught me two things. The two things that he taught me is never get away from the Word of God and never get too far away from the cross.
Amen.
And I thought about that and I prayed about it, and it was actually pretty simple. Jesus came by water and blood. And without bloodshed, there's no remission of sins. And without water, without the Word, you don't rise from the dead.
Amen.
That's the power right there. And I thought that was really good advice. And I asked that you guys would pray for me, that I never get too far away from the Word of God and the cross. That's what this is all about. I appreciate your prayers. And Sash, I love you so much. You wives, pray for your husbands.
Amen.
You have no idea what support a wife brings to a man. And she's been right there for me as the Lord's dealt with me. And Sasha, I love you and I thank you so much. All right. Let's pray real fast. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that I decrease and that You increase, Lord. I pray, Lord, dear Heavenly Father, that You would use me tonight, Lord, to preach. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that I would preach as this it would be my last time to preach, Lord. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that I would preach, Lord, that it would go into the halls of Congress, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we preach so loud the Word of God that there's a revival in this country. I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would go forth in this country, Lord, and this country would repent. Dear Heavenly Father, I love You so much, and I thank You, Lord, for what You've done in my life, Lord. Thank You what You've done in my wife's life, Lord. Thank You, Lord, what You've done in this church. Lord, what You've done and You continue to do, Lord. I thank You, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that You help me to preach. I love You, Father, and I thank You. In Jesus' heavenly name, amen.
Amen.
America has a sickness. America has a sickness. And there is only one prescription for America. I want you guys to think about that as I preach tonight. And I want you to think about what the sickness is. And I want you to think about what the prescription is. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 14:34. And I know you have your Bibles because there's Bibles in the pew, so pick them up. Get down and look, I want you guys to see this. You kids, I want you to listen up. I sat in a church for 32 years.
Listen.
32 years I sat in a church. And I know you can sit in a church for 32 years and be lost.
Right.
I want you guys to look at what the Word of God says. You think on it, you meditate on it, you pray on it. Start out in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. The Bible says that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I'm going to move and go fast. Write these down. Go back and read them later and think about them. You can flip there if you're fast enough. We used to do sword drills when I was a kid. That's where you flip real fast through the Bible. If you can keep up, do it. Isaiah 1:4 says, "All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." In Isaiah here, he's talking about Israel. But we know from the Bible that God does not change. What happened to Israel is the same today. This is America today. "All sinful nation, the shoe of their countenance," countenance is appearance, "the shoe of their countenance does witness against them. They declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves."
Amen.
We look here that righteousness exalteth the nation. Who can tell me what righteousness is? Righteousness is this Bible right here. In 1963, our Supreme Court voted that there'd be no Bible reading in schools and that prayer would be not allowed in schools. Well, guess what? You can't take prayer out of school. You can't make somebody stop praying.
Amen.
But they kicked the Bible out. They threw the one righteous thing in our country out of the schools. This is righteousness right here. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness is Jesus Christ. But sin is a reproach to any people. A reproach. What does reproach mean? Reproach is disgrace. Reproach is shame.
Yeah.
Let me show you what shame looks like.
Amen.
Let me show you what disgust looks like.
Amen.
That is disgusting.
Amen.
That is our nation's capital right there with the rainbow flag.
Amen.
That's supporting sodomy. That's a disgrace, folks. You say, "Oh, well, bless God, you know, I didn't vote for Obama." Phooey on that! Our nation put him in there. That's our nation's capital right there. We put that man in office that put the flag, the sodomite flag right there. A sinful nation, they declare their sin is Sodom. They hide it not. That's not hiding your sin right there. That's not being ashamed of your sin. That is a reproach. I want you to think about that. Remember where we started. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Folks, I'm telling you today, reproach is upon us.
Yeah.
Reproach is in America. I want you to think about that. This is what reproach looks like, folks. That is 10 miles from this church.
Right.
That is 10 miles from this church, folks.
Yep.
That is a 17-year-old boy dressed up like a girl. That is reproach. That is disgusting.
Amen.
What's even worse is the school board let him do it.
Yeah.
That is a disgrace. That is a shame. That is what reproach looks like. I don't know the complete story here. But I know that two people left the school board because of that.
Yeah.
Because they stood up for it.
Yeah.
They threw the Bible out.
Amen,
and look what's going on. Look what's going on in our country, folks. This ought to make you mad. Reproach. A shame. A disgrace. Planned Parenthood. U.S. abortions. By year. 60 million babies murdered and slaughtered like hogs in this country. That's disgusting.
Amen.
That is a shame. That is a disgrace.
Amen.
That should make you mad.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy on this country. Nazi Germany ain't got nothing on us.
Good.
You think about that for a second. We've quadrupled as many people as they've killed. I don't tell you to do it, but when I was looking up these pictures, oh Lord, you should have seen what I seen online. The pictures are disgusting. They rip these babies out of the woman's womb. You know what it is? They're ashamed of their sin. It's a cover up for their sin. It's a reproach. It's shame. They can't face it. America, we're hiding it. We're washing the outside of the cup and we're full of dead men's bones.
Amen.
You think about that.
Amen.
We're too busy driving fancy cars, looking nice. worried about this and that, and reproach is in our country right now. Not only are they killing babies, but Planned Parenthood sells baby parts. And then the hypocrites, to top it all off, they sell baby parts. And then the person that was behind selling them doesn't get in trouble, but the person that told on them got in trouble. Are you kidding me? That's upside down. That's wrong. You think about that. You think it. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's a disgrace. It's a shame. The problem continued. Boy, I tell you what, I'm so thankful. God's good. You ask God questions. Kids, you listen up. You get this Bible out and you ask God questions. You, God, I don't know what that means. I'm not going to tell you. You don't understand everything in this Bible at once. But God will show you. You open up this Bible. When I say Bible, I'm talking about the 1611 Authorized King James Bible. I am not afraid to say that.
Amen.
I am not afraid to say that this is my Bible and I believe every word of it.
Amen.
This is the Word of God. Don't you be ashamed of that.
Amen.
You stand up and you fight for this Bible.
Amen.
This is the Word of God. Right here in this 1611 Bible, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever.
Amen.
You think about that. You've got the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. I want you to think about that. Do you know what that means? That was the greatest thing in the world to me when I learned that God preserved His Word for me, that I could pick up and hold the Word alive. I want you to think about that, folks. That is awesome. When God turned on the light in my life and showed me the Word of God, the weight of the world came off my shoulders. I realized I didn't have to do it anymore. That God did it. He preserved His Word for me right here in this Bible. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said. My words will not pass away. Amen. I want you to think about that. Kids, you think about that. You think about Pastor Mike, these guys that came before you, these guys that are up here preaching this Word. That means something. Praise the Lord. Getting back to Romans chapter 1 this week, I was reading and I was studying on this message. Mike told you I had a different message. The Lord's just laid on my heart to tell people the differences between the Word of God. They need to know. People need to know what this Bible says. They need to know who Jesus is. Guess what? You fit the bill. That's you, believer. We have the priesthood of the believer. If our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. You think about that. You need to be out there. You need to be telling people the truth. But God just kind of laid it on my heart with the Bible issues. When I first got saved, that was one of the first things. Was God just kind of showed me what they've done to these Bible translations. It's absolutely disgusting. It's just despicable. It's just as despicable what's going on in our schools. What's going on in Planned Parenthood. They've disgraced the Word of God. They've changed Jesus. It's terrible. When I got to thinking about it, boy, I tell you what, the Lord just has a funny way. He's so good.
Amen.
God's so good. He's so merciful. He's so gracious and long-suffering. I can't believe He puts up with a fool like me. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. I didn't know what that means. It's all right if you don't know what something means in the Bible. You ask God. God give the understanding. He'll show you those things. Don't take my word for it. Don't take Pastor Mike. You ask God. You search God. You get in your Bible. You read it. You ask Him. He'll show you great and mighty things you don't know. But I read that. And I didn't know what it meant. I don't know. I'm kind of a fool. My wife will tell you that. Praise the Lord. Mike had to correct my sermon. My grammar was all messed up. If my sisters are watching, you all know that's true. Because you guys are always correcting my grammar. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I didn't know what that meant. I know that if you read on here, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Oh, by the way, in those new Bibles, Godhead's completely removed. They took it completely out of the Bibles. I didn't know what that meant. I said, Lord, I want to know what that means. And I am not kidding you, the very next day, it doesn't always work that way. It doesn't mean anything. You don't always find out what He means. Sometimes it's a year down the road. Sometimes it's 2 years down the road. He'll show you by His Word. The very next day, Mike gets on PMO and he talks about this. Are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. How many parts to the Godhead? The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, these three are one. It's just as simple, and I'm so glad God's long suffering, and He's so good to us because I'm a little slow. But in the beginning, time, God created the heavens, space. There's three things that consist in our universe, that make up our universe. Time, space, and matter. Those three things are clearly seen. Go back. Compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Kids, get your Bible out and read. You see something over here. Oh man, I remember something over here. The Holy Ghost will start to connect things in your Bible, and you will not be able to put that book down, I promise you. But the Godhead clearly seen in the beginning. There's time. God created the heavens. There's space. And the earth. There's mass. There's your three things. They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. They're not going to be without excuse in the day of judgment, folks. God is clearly showing you that He does exist. He did make all this. And guess what? And God said. It's by His Word. Amen? So they are without excuse, being that when they knew God, listen up, they glorified Him not as God. It's what's going on all over our country right now. It's what's going on in the churches in America. They have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. What's the power thereof? Right here, folks. It's that simple. Christ is simple. Professing themselves to be wise. Oh my goodness. Professing themselves to be wise. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like a little pipe-smoking guy sitting there with a collared shirt. Well, a better translation of this would be, fooey on that.
Amen.
That's disgusting. What he's really saying is, God don't know nothing, I'm smarter than God. Yeah. Listen to what they said here. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Listen here. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They changed the truth of God into a lie. We don't believe the Godhead exists anymore. We're going to change it. We don't believe that Jesus is eternal. We're going to change it.
Amen.
Listen to what he's telling you here. They took the truth and they changed it. That's what's going on in our churches across this country. Right now. They changed the truth of God into a lie. And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. The creature was made subject to vanity. That's man. They're serving man. They don't believe that God wrote the Bible. They believe they got to put their hands. I went to those churches. I heard those preachers. I know how they think. I know what they think. They're smarter than God. It's terrible. Out of a preacher's own mouth, I heard him say, well, bless God, we think that man is illuminated now to change the Word of God. Fooey on that! They don't believe the Word of God. You think about that. When you get your advice from somebody, what videos you listen to, who you talk to, ask them. Ask them what they believe. That's okay. You stand up for this.
Amen.
You've got the... This is power. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. You find out who you're hanging around with and what they believe.
Yeah. Amen.
You think about that, folks. What church you go to. And for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. It is not very hard. You can look at nature and see how God made things. I don't have to go into detail there.
Amen.
And likewise also, the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's the problem right there. They don't want God's ways. So flip it upside down. Flip God's ways. God made man and woman. Now flip it upside down. It's that simple, folks. Look how wise God is.
Amen.
He's so wise. He's telling you what's happening in our country. It's that simple.
Amen.
Flip it upside down. Men working that which is unseemly, they didn't continue there. They didn't retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's upside down, folks. They think right's wrong, wrong's right. It's that simple. That's what a reprobate mind is. Being filled with all unrighteousness. That's the opposite of righteousness. Jesus Christ is righteous. Now flip it upside down. It's unrighteous. That's what's going on. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. They hate God and they hate His ways. You listen to what He's telling us here. We're seeing that in our country right now. They're malicious. Whispers, I know you've seen that.
Yeah. Come on.
Whispers, you better be careful you don't do that. You think about that. Whispering, you're talking about people. You better make sure you're not a hater of God.
Amen.
God ordained authority. Pastor Mike is the preacher of this church. That is authority. Don't mess with God's authority. Don't do it. David didn't do it.
Right.
They murdered Saul.
Right.
God killed... David said, "How dare you curse God's anointed?"
Right.
Don't do it. Keep your mouth shut. You think about that. Folks, we're here for each other. You come to the house of God, you come here to serve one another and labor for one another. The hand can't say to the elbow, "I have no need of thee." Jared, I love you. Me and Jared have stayed up many nights talking Bible. Iron does sharpeneth iron. That man's a roofer. That man's a roofer. He knows more about the Word of God than all these people here that profess to know God. God chose the foolish of the world to confound the wise.
Amen.
Don't get too prideful about that, but I love our God. Look around this church. Sinners Anonymous.
Amen.
Thankful for you guys. I love you guys. Grammy Pammy came up to me. I was sitting right here before I came up here to preach. She said, "Ryan, we're just all your friends.
Amen.
We love you. Well, you warm my heart. It makes me feel so good." Be here for one another, guys. Pray for one another. without understanding, continue there in verse 31, Romans chapter 1. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they that which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Folks, I'm going to show you what this looks like and what God's telling you. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use and that which is against nature. That's what that looks like. God did not make that. That is not the way God made things. Remember I said flip it upside down. That's not God-appointed authority there, folks. You turn on the news nowadays and another mother's killed a baby. That's disgusting. That's shame and that's a reproach. That's a own mother. There's babies all over this place. You think about that. That's disgusting. This mother admits to killing her baby for interrupting her Farmville game.
My.
That is disgusting. That is reprobate.
Yeah.
That is upside down. That's going on in our country right now. You think about that. Let me show you what else haters of God looks like. Are you kidding me? I bet hell is fabulous, is what he says. I bet it's not. Upside down. They hate God. They hate God's authority. They hate what God made. The problem continued. Did you know the Bible has all the answers? Did you know this Bible has the answers to every problem you'll ever have in your life? It's not a cope manual. It's an I surrender manual. This Bible saved my life. This Bible saved my marriage. This Bible saved my mom. This Bible saved the people in this church that I know. This book is the Word of God. This book changes lives. This book saves souls from hell. The problem continued. There is no fear. Romans 3:18 says there is no fear of God before their eyes. Proverbs 6:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Those are basic principles, guys. It's the truth. There is no fear of God. There is no fear and reverence for God in this country. They've kicked God out of the schools. They've kicked everything holy and righteous out of all our schools across this America. It's disgusting. It's a disgrace. It's shameful. Psalms 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You think about that. Ezekiel 16:49, behold, a lot of wisdom here. I want you to think about this. You write it down, you go home, you think, pray, meditate on it. Ezekiel 16:49 says, behold, this was iniquity of their sister Sodom. Pride. Pride. Union pride. American pride. Pride here. We got pride all over this country. Pride is killing America. Pride is what's brought shame and reproach to this country. It was pride of Sodom that God destroyed it. I don't want that. I don't want that. You get down and you beg God not to destroy this country.
Amen.
Think about what He's telling us. Behold, this was iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread. Ain't that true? I went out to eat yesterday. We're so fat and happy in this country. We got so much food. You know what happens? You know what happens when you get too much bread? You don't need God anymore.
Amen.
You think about that. And you thank God for His grace in your life. that every time you've got too far away from Him, He's brought you back. He's taken things away in your life to keep you on your knees and your eyes watering. Turn towards Him and counting on Him. You thank God for that. This is what's wrong with our country. Idleness. We got too much time on our hands. Last year I went around mowing lawns. I had to find a job. That's what a man does. Are you listening? A man works for his family. A man provides for his family. He takes care of his family. You think about that. We got men all over this country sitting on their humps, not doing nothing. They got idleness. What happens when you got idleness and you're not working like a man? By the way, flip that upside down. Why does a man not like to work? Because God said, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to make your way. They hate God. That's what's going on in our country. They don't want to work. They want to sit on their butts. They want the guys that do work to take care of them.
Amen. Amen.
Think about that. Make sure that's not you.
Amen.
Don't carve a God out. This is God.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Don't carve out a God. Idleness, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. God don't put up with it. God's not slack concerning His promises. He don't ever go back. His Word is sure. Do you think for a second they're getting away with it? Heard somebody say that the other day. Getting mad about something somebody did. They didn't get it. God wrote it down. You mark that in your day book. They're going to get it. Pastors. Churches. Talking to you now. No word of God and repentance in the churches. Mike's been preaching on repentance here. You got to be kidding me, these nuts out there that say repentance is works. It's ridiculous. God changing your heart is not works.
Amen.
Jeremiah 10:21, for the pastors are become brutish and have not sought after the Lord, therefore they shall not prosper and all their flock shall be scattered. Shall be. You know what that means? Shall be means it's going to happen. Shall be. Jeremiah 12:10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Boy, you think about that right now. Compare that to John 15. You want to know what the vineyard is. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and my words abideth in him. It's His Word. Listen to what they've done. They've destroyed the vineyard of the Lord. Look at what it says there. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and to scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Woe. Woe is a warning. Woe is, you don't want that. That's the judgment of God. Woe is to them. Jeremiah 23:2, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them.
Behold, I will
visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. The judgment of God is coming across. It's a for sure thing. God is telling us it is going to happen. Right there. Why? Because they've forsaken the Word of God. They've thrown it out. They said they're smarter than their God. Professing to be wise, they became fools. It's not just the pastors, folks. It takes a church.
Amen. Amen.
It takes people sitting in a congregation. Look what God says. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. It says there, and kids, you listen up. Compare spiritual things with spiritual things. Don't let people lie to you. Amen. You don't take somebody's word. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. You remember that, you write it down, you memorize it, you put it in your heart. Let God be true and every man a liar. Look what it says there. It says, I have destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, what's knowledge? The fear of the Lord. Are you listening, America? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There is no fear of Lord in this country. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We have a bunch of fools in this country. They don't want God's wisdom. They don't want His instruction. No word. No word of God equals no repentance. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper. It discerns your heart. The word of God's what brings you to repentance. It's what goes right here and cuts to your heart. That's what's lost in our country. So what to make of it? What happens in our churches when you take the word of God out? Flip it upside down. It's opposite. It's opposite of righteousness. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach. It goes the same with the churches. You take the word of God out of the churches, and you get this. This is supposed to be a church. That's supposed to be the house of God. Are you kidding me? The bishop is to be the husband of one wife. Amen. Why is a woman leading a church? Amen. It's that simple.
Amen.
The simplicity in Christ. That is... Are you kidding me? And look... She's got a rainbow flag. We just read about that. That's having pleasure in them that do such things.
Amen.
You see how simple that is? That's disgusting. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away.
Amen.
Turn away. Don't have nothing to do with that. That's got Ichabod written all over it. The glory has departed. The glory has departed. The truth will be evil spoken of. Oh boy, ain't that true in this country. Woe be to anybody that says King James Bible. They hate it. Pastor Mike's been preaching on Mystery Babylon, on Diana. On Jezebel. That's what she does. She takes the Word of God out. She attacks it. You think about that. You think about that. You settle that in your heart, folks. You settle it in your heart that heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, my words will not pass away. You get that settled in your mind and in your heart. The truth is evil spoken of. Right now. How many King James churches you know around here? Count them on your hands. You only need one. The truth is evil. They hate it. They hate the authority of the Word of God. No repentance. This began Matthew 11:20. Then began he to upbraid the cities. Upbraid means to bring reproach upon. Listen to what God's saying here. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they, why? Because they repented not. They repented not. They could care less. They're more concerned about their life. Could care less that they have sinned against an almighty, holy, righteous God. They don't care. They repented not. There's no sorrow in their heart. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, They would have repented a long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it should be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. You listening? There's that woe again. But I say unto you that it should be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. 2 Peter 2, chapter 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those which after should live ungodly. You listening, folks? An ensample, an example. God's going to show you. Google it. Look up Sodom and Gomorrah today. It is an absolute wasteland. Bible says the well-watered plains of Sodom. Didn't used to be. Didn't used to be a wasteland. Now it is. Ain't nothing there. You want this, America? Think about it. Is the Bible fact the wicked and all nations that forget God will be turned into hell? God destroyed Sodom. Lot's wife turned around. She got destroyed too. You know why? Because she loved this world more than God. You think about that. You make sure that ain't you.
Amen.
Don't be the rich man. Do you know we have a picture into hell? Right here in our Bible. That's God is showing you what a man in hell feels and thinks. I read this, scared the daylights out of me when I read this. Listen to what God's telling you a man in hell thinks and feels. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Go there, turn in your Bibles. I want you to see this with your own eyes. It's hell, it's the judgment of God that brings sinners to repentance. That's what scared the daylights out of me when I was a kid. Hell. Eternal damnation. Luke 16, 19. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Doesn't that sound like America? Fared sumptuously every day. Fine linen. Boy, we just look so good on the outside, but inside, dead. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried up by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Just like that. He died and was in hell. Instantly. You could walk out this door today, and you could die. Where are you going to be? And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and see Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me! And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I want you to think about that, church. All he wanted was a drop of water. That's it, a drop of water. Because I am tormented in this flame. Folks, I want you to think about that. Hell is not 500 years. Hell is not the end of your shift. Hell is not the next day. It's eternal. Everlasting punishment, the Bible says. Everlasting punishment. I go to work. I go to work. I work an 8-hour shift. At the end of my day, I know I'm going home. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. I want you to think about that. You know you're getting off at a certain time. There is no hope in hell! Hell's everlasting! It's everlasting punishment! You think about that! All he wanted was A drop of water. A drop of water. Just one drop. Just one drop. Tormented in this flame. Tormented in this flame. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I don't know if you ever felt a burn. I have. We was at work one night. We was doing some power washing. This is about a year ago. And the way it works is you power wash the preheaters. And they get rock built up and such. And you put the power washer in there and you blow it. And I'm a knucklehead. And sometimes you have to drive a pole in there to push those rocks back. It's a steel bar. Well, those kilns are about 2,500 degrees. And I reached down and without even thinking, I reached down and I grabbed that bar with my hand. A steel bar that had been in 2,500. I have never in my life felt pain like that. Excruciating. And it was my hand. We're talking about tormented in this flame. For eternity. That's no hope. Amen. That's hope removed. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest in thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." Then he said, "I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house." Are you listening, folks? Listen to what the rich man in hell is saying. Listen. Listen. Listen, send him to my father's house. You got family members that are lost, don't you? Listen to what the rich man's saying. Send him to my father's house. I don't want my family to go to hell.
Amen.
Listen to what this rich man's saying. "For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." Listen to what he's saying. They have Moses and the prophets. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. They have Moses and the prophets to hear. Let them hear them. He said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into them from the dead, they will what? They what? What? They will repent! Don't give me that nonsense! Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation!
Yeah.
Repent! They will repent! They'd hear the Word of God and they'd repent! And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto them, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." He's talking about Jesus Christ. The answer. God's provided the way. I saw a sign this week, and I want to touch on this, because this is not... I seen this sign when I was getting ready for this sermon, and it made me mad. Because these people, it was supposedly a group of Christians, and they were standing... Chris, I see your shirt. I love that shirt. "He who is without sin casts the first stone." That's what that Bible verse says.
Amen.
God doesn't hate sodomites. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He hates the sin.
Amen.
He's holy. He's righteous.
Amen.
His judgment, His truth is pure. But anyways, there's these supposable Christians standing there holding the sign that said, God hates sodomites. That's so backwards.
Amen.
Don't you be that. That's not Christianity. That's not Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What's the Bible say? But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were... Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. I'm so glad. I won't sit up here and confess my sins to you, but you don't want to know them. You think I'm a pretty good guy? That's not true. The things that go on in my brain, in my mind, be honest, be honest.
Amen. Amen.
Don't be honest with me. Be honest with God. Guess what? He already knows. The Bible says His eyes are in every place. He knows what you look at. He knows what you talk about. You think about that before you do something. His eyes are in every place. But God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. James 4:6, but He giveth more grace. Ask God what grace is. I challenge you. Ask God what grace is. Wherefore, grace is the fact that He died for us. You are a wicked, hell-deserving sinner. That's grace, that He died for you. But He giveth more grace. More grace. He is merciful. The Bible says His mercy is everlasting.
Amen.
Don't reject His mercy.
Amen.
He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He say, God resisteth the proud, but He give grace unto the humble. What's going on in our country right now is pride. They're not humbling themselves before an Almighty God. They don't care. Jesus saith unto him, listen to what your Savior says. Churches in America, so-called Christians. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, not a way. The way.
Amen.
The truth. Thy word is truth. There is such thing as truth.
Amen.
It's right here. And the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way. Allah's not the way. Buddha's not the way. Catholicism's not the way.
Amen.
Mary's not the way.
Amen.
Mormons, Joseph Smith, he's not the way. Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower, that's not the way. You think about that. You arm yourselves, Christians. You know what this Bible says. He is the way, and He is intolerant of any other religion.
Amen.
You remember that. The next day John seeth Jesus coming into him and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Aren't you so thankful?
Amen.
Aren't you so thankful? Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. You catching that, Christian? I'm preaching to myself tonight. I hope that's all right with you.
Amen.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. You can't do it. Jesus Christ did it for you. No flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul said, what do? Paul said, we establish the law. He said, I wouldn't know sin except for the law said, thou shalt not covet. We establish the law because it brings sinners to repentance. But now, and he's going to explain it here. Paul said, walk circumspectly. Not as fools. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God which is by faith.
Amen.
Aren't you so glad?
Amen.
Aren't you so glad it's by faith? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Take that, Seventh-day Adventist. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Stop trying to take God's glory. It's exactly what they're doing right there. They're taking the cross of Jesus Christ in vain. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in what? His blood. You remember where we started? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It's about the cross, folks. You remember a couple years ago, they had these bracelets everybody wore around that said, what would Jesus do? It's not what would Jesus do, it's what He did. And it's the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that He already shed. Don't get caught up into that work junk that's going on out there now. It's all you.
Yeah.
I was caught up in it. It's bondage. It's straight out of hell. You can't do it. Trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He said, it is finished. It is finished. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness.
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is what's wrong with our country. That He might be just and the justifier of him that which believeth in Jesus. Did you hear that? Which believeth in Jesus. It's faith. Do you believe what God said? Do you believe it? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The just shall live by faith. Abraham believed God. It was imputed to him for righteousness. It was imputed. It wasn't Abraham earning his own righteousness. Good land living. It just amazes me we got people in this country that think we can do anything right. We can't even make a car that don't break down. 400 years ago, we thought the earth was flat. They used to poke needles and stuff in your arm and drain your blood out because they thought it healed sickness. Man is wicked. Sinners, folks. We can't fix nothing. We're broke. We're busted. You think about that before you get your... Man, it makes me so mad. I had people in my family. I tell them something about the Bible and they'll run right over to their church and a pastor will tell them something completely against the Word of God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I never even thought about that, but that's three things. The Godhead. God's good, ain't He?
Amen.
God, America, God's putting up warning signs. And reproach is upon us. Shame, disgrace is upon us. Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's right here. I want you to think about that. At hand, it's right here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what your Savior, what'd your Savior say? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Churches, I love you. I do. I really mean that. I came out of you. I was one of you. You're married. I love this country and I love our people. I wouldn't be up here if I didn't. God's given us the answer. Churches, He's given you a chance. He's not slack concerning His promises. But He's given everybody. He came, Mike preached on it this morning. He even gave... who did He give a chance to repent? Blew my mind. Jezebel. He gave Jezebel a chance. That's a merciful, gracious God. America, God's given you a chance. He's telling you to repent. Listen to what He says. I pass a sign every day on my way home from work that says, invite God to heal our land. Well, how do you invite God to heal our land? Repent.
Amen.
Repent. If my people which are called by my name... Are you a Christian? You say you're a Christian? Listen to what the Bible tells you. It's not rocket science. Don't make it difficult. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do Thy will, O Lord. I come in the volume of the book. Not books. Not Joel Osteen's videos.
Amen.
Not all the junk. They're making merchandise of you, America! Listen to what the Bible says. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You want healing, America? You don't want to be Sodom and Gomorrah? You don't want to be destroyed? Repent. Repent, repent, repent. Mark 1:15, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. When Jesus heard it, He saith unto them, they that are whole have need not of physician, but they that are sick. That's a problem right there. You're too stinking righteous. You don't need Jesus. They that are whole have no need of a physician. That's a rich man. That's a rich man that didn't want to hear the Word of God. You think about that. Didn't want to hear the warnings. They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. At the beginning of this sermon, I asked you a question. I said, America has a sickness, and there is only one prescription. It's the physician, it's Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. Invite righteous Jesus to heal our land. Repent. Repent. I love you guys. I thank you so much. It feels so good to get up here and preach. I can't, it's like a burden is just off my shoulders. I thank you guys for sitting here and entertaining me. I thank you for your long suffering. I thank you for just everything you guys do for me. You probably don't even know, but you do, and I love you all so much. I want you guys to pray for our country.
Amen.
If our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. You think about that. You go to work, people need to see the gospel in you. They need to see Jesus Christ in you. I love you guys. Bow your heads.